This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, if it's going to happen, it's going to be because we the people have made it so. Bottom-up movement, grassroots, not top-down. Top-down, as we've been saying, is what got us in this mess to begin with. This is a government of for and by we the people, but if we don't exercise that right, well, then you have the 21st century America in which we live in, which is quite frightening because everywhere I travel, you know, the concern of America that continues to grow, and I mean it is growing because you can see the fear in people's eyes, is they sense that this great American experiment is slipping right through their fingers. Now, is this going to be the generation that allows it to be so? I mean, you know, look, Scott, look at what's going on. I mean, you know, Bernie Sanders, and you got kids following him. I don't even know if they even can spell socialism, much less understand you know, what it has done historically, anywhere you look at it. You know, I'm one to say, hey, look at the empirical evidence. Is it there? Is there a there? And the there isn't consistent with anything that I would believe would be consistent with our American values. It just doesn't work that way. And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations that we have in America today is people wanting to work, cannot find a job. They want this sense of, you know, fulfillment and happiness that comes with having a job and knowing that you've earned it and, you know, that it hasn't been a handout. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have it. I think we're very fortunate. We're a very generous nation, very generous people here. And when you need the help, you need the help. But you do what you can to get off it and you pay it forward. So then it's your turn, you know, the next time when somebody else needs it. Hey, you've participated in the system, what you've taken out, you've replenished, and have been a good citizen to help the people of the next generation, you know, move forward as well. But, you know, that's what makes America great, is that we're all participating in this. But, you know, the government, for the sake of votes, it's just done the unconscionable, I believe, and that is they've stolen the dreams of Americans and said, look, your dreams need to be subordinated, and we're going to take care of you from cradle to grave, really. And, you know, how's that working out for you? And can you see that we're running out of money at $19 trillion in debt and counting? And Bernie Sanders, you know, thinks nothing that, I mean, all the experts, econ experts go, yeah, it's another $19 trillion with Bernie Sanders. Really? Stop kidding me. But anyway, there's, again, you know, if we're not going to wake up to the reality of this deal, then we are, as Paul Simon would say, slip sliding away. Meanwhile, Mike Lee had to say this about Donald Trump's SCOTUS shortlist. I mean, it's pretty fascinating. Of course, Mike Lee, a highly respected Tea Party senator. And yeah, I said SCOTUS, right? Supreme Court list? Is that SCOTUS? Yeah, still. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, Scott's. I mean, not that I have to always be right, but I appreciate you. You know, it demonstrates that you're listening. Thank you. So listen to what Mike Lee had to say.
Now, Senator, we know it's been a bruising campaign on both sides. If Senator Bob Corker or Senator Sessions was to join the Trump ticket, would that help you get on board with Donald Trump, or have you already made your decision?
Look, you know, I've acknowledged in the past that I've got some concerns, and a lot of people share those concerns. Those things are still there. I will say that I really liked last week the list that he put out. With regard to people he might appoint to the Supreme Court of the United States. There were some very good people on that list.
Including your brother.
Including my brother, who I would add, speaking completely objectively here, stands out above the rest. But, look, it wasn't just that there were some great names on that list. That was the best, most conservative Supreme Court shortlist I've ever seen from any president. Wow. And I was thrilled by that.
All right, Senator.
Well, that's pretty powerful, huh? Interesting comments from Mike Lee regarding Donald Trump's Supreme Court shortlist. This is Bill Martinez. We're coming at 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Love to hear from you.
Are your Google search results killing you?
Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. We're talking about the things that matter to you that are most important, that are going to frame this next generation, this 21st century America in which we live in. Jenny Beth Martin is with us right now, president, co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots. Jenny Beth, I want to bring you on right away because we've got lots to talk about. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me today.
Well, boy, this news about John Koskinen, this just gets to be weird. I mean, even when he was being investigated, was called up to the Hill to explain what was going on with the IRS, he just had such an attitude about him that it was like, why am I wasting my time with you guys? And and his attitude just continues to go. I mean, it's galling to me.
It is. He has an attitude of arrogance and disdain for the people who are there to hold him accountable, which in this case is Congress. And yesterday, the House Judiciary Committee had hearings with, and the witnesses for the hearings were members of the House Oversight Committee who are calling for the impeachment of John Koskinen. He was hired to clean up the IRS after the revelations of the targeting that happened to groups with Tea Party Patriots and their name was revealed, and to restore the public trust. And instead, he's made matters worse, and he's eroded that trust even further. He misled or flat out lied to Congress, and it's time for him to go.
Yeah. I mean, he destroyed evidence on top. I mean, who destroys evidence when you're an investigation? They tell you, they go, hey, we want this product here. And what does he do? He goes back to the agency and, you know, forget about President Nixon in 18 minutes. And he just wholesaled, you know, hundreds of items. He vaporizes, and he didn't do a real good job because I think there were still like over 700 other pieces of paper and information that he didn't destroy, right?
Yeah, what we're talking about here are emails that Lois Lerner and other employees of the IRS had during the height of the targeting scandal, trying to determine what it was that motivated them, exactly what set them off, and how they went about this targeting. We need to understand what was going on in their minds and what happened with it so that we can make sure there are procedures in place to prevent this from happening in the future.
Jenny Beth, do you really think that's going to happen? I don't mean to be cynical.
We'll find out what was in their mind.
Yeah, what was in their minds, because this thing is so systemic.
No. I don't think that we will, but the evidence would have given us some clues so that we could set up safeguards to prevent this from happening in the future. Mm-hmm. The evidence is gone. The hard drive mysteriously crashed. The backups of the hard drive, which existed when John Koskinen took the head of the FBI, the IRS's position, took that position, those backups existed. He did not tell the tech team not to destroy them. He never even mentioned to Congress that there were backups when he said that the hard drive had failed. And the evidence is gone now. Those backups are gone. He did nothing to prevent that from happening.
Exactly. Well, he's, on the face of this, Jenny Beth, He's just totally incompetent and a deceiver. You know, he's running on a whole nother agenda, protecting the IRS. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I mean, okay, so you don't know the root system of the problem, but you know the fruit. I mean, the fruit is real obvious. They broke the law. They went beyond their purview and affecting and going after conservative groups. Clearly, they were targeted. I don't know, you know, how much more evidence. I mean, look at the tree. The fruit is hanging right there. And I was talking with somebody else earlier about the impact. Jennifer Burke, we were talking about the impact that even to this day, their actions have had on the Tea Party, on the machinations, its influence in the political process because of what Lois Lerner did.
Yeah, I cannot overstate the impact that this targeting had on Tea Party patriots. We're the only nationwide organization that was targeted in the manner we were. There were other state and local groups, but it made it almost impossible for us to compete with existing organizations. And then once we finally got the certificate from the IRS, within a month, we find out that people who donate to Tea Party groups were 10 times more likely to be personally audited. It is crushed fundraising abilities for us in many ways. We continue. Mm-hmm. We're not going to let this stop us. But it's a real problem. It's a very real problem. And it silences speech because we can't assemble together as easily as liberal groups could.
Yeah, exactly. And you think of the impact that this had on the 2012 election, Jenny Beth. I mean, you know, people are, you know, forgetting that. They neutered the Tea Party patriots and other conservative groups. And what do you think that they did? They just went back into their shells and protected themselves. And who wants to get involved with the government and go through all the auditing and everything else that they did? I mean, this is unconscionable. This is why I say whether it's Koskinen or whoever it is, I mean, this is systemic issue. And Lois Lerner to get off scot-free and for us to continue to give her some kind of golden parachute in retirement after all that she's done, it's like, wait a minute, isn't there some sort of ethical clause, something within the government structure that says, you know, if you're an idiot and you're doing something and you break the law, we're not going to cover your retirement like this.
And there's not. And that's the thing that's so frustrating about what's happened. No one's been held accountable. It was May 23rd, 2013, when Lois Lerner first took her administrative leave, and now she's in retirement. All this time, she continues to have either was paid leave or now her paid retirement benefits. There's no accountability. And Koskinen, he had an almost impossible job. I will grant him that. It was a very difficult job. But he made it worse. He's made the situation worse. Imagine if you or I said to the IRS, hey, sorry, we lost our stuff. Our hard drive crashed, and we just destroyed the backup. We don't want to show it to you. Sorry.
Right.
They're not going to take no for an answer. They'll levy our accounts.
Exactly.
They will not take no for an answer. So it's time for them to be held accountable, and it's crucial. It's crucial because we have to restore this public trust. The IRS, whether we like the IRS or not, they have a legitimate function, and the public must be able to trust them.
Well, it is an important function, and it's one that needs to be honored on all levels for what they represent. When they have the power and authority, I mean, our founding fathers were aware of this. In terms of government agencies, not particularly the IRS, because the IRS wasn't set up back then, but just the overreach of these agencies, what they could do and how they could, you know, influence people and control them. And, you know, this is, like you say, this has been unconscionable that there's been no accountability on this so far. And then you have Koskinen who comes in. He lies. He's deceiving. He's destroying evidence. And then on top of that, he says, I ain't coming to your stinking meeting. You're hearing, okay?
Yeah, it's bad. Listen, the one thing your listeners can do is call your congressman and tell your congressman to impeach John Koskinen. Call for his impeachment because Congress does not want to do this. They're only going to do it if we push. And we have to continue to push to hold them accountable.
Well, watching that committee meeting, that hearing yesterday, it seems they're leaning that way, but they will go with the sentiment of we the people, and I agree. Call your congressman. Let them know. Jenny Beth Martin, president and co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots. Jenny Beth, thank you so much for being with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners across the country are concerned about the economy and are taking a wait-and-see approach to growth as election year anxiety rises. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, only 29% of entrepreneurs are confident the national economy will improve in the coming year. Furthermore, 67% believe the presidential election will affect their business. More than half say the same for congressional elections. Small business owners also expressed increased concern about healthcare costs and the stock market. As a result, they seem to be pulling back on hiring and growth plans, which have both declined since last year. Rob Hilson, small business executive at Bank of America, discusses the findings.
The unusual nature of this election year appears to be impacting the outlook of small business owners for both their business and the economy. Nearly 6 in 10 entrepreneurs plan to keep headcount the same, and another 17% said they were undecided about hiring, suggesting that many are taking a wait-and-see approach.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using this system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot, and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of easy riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Getting America back on track.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. Wall.
Bill Martinez live.
It's not only the walls then, there's walls here in America as well that need to be torn down, if we had a voice like Ronald Reagan to point that out. But we're going through the process. Experience defines preference, and we're starting to see this preference. And hopefully reason and civility will reign overall, regardless of what we saw last night in New Mexico. Welcome back, America. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Let me ask you, what do Tulsa, Cleveland, Kansas City, San Diego, Durham, and New Haven have in common? Well, they've signed on to the Healthiest Cities and Counties Challenge. Yes, Healthiest Cities and Counties Challenge, new initiative to provide recognition and awards totaling $1.5 million to communities showing measurable changes in health and wellness. Now, the challenge, it is a partnership between the Aetna Foundation, the American Public Health Association, and the National Association of Counties. They're going to reward innovation in just 50 small to mid-sized cities, counties, and federally recognized tribes making significant positive health impacts. So it's all about getting communities healthy, one person at a time, one neighbor at a time. And, you know, you imagine how this expands. And you've got until May the 31st, that's when applications are going to close. With us right now to break it all down for us, Dr. Mary Lynn Ostrowski. She's the executive director of the Aetna Foundation. Dr. Ostrowski, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Thank you. Doing well this morning, Bill, and you?
Well, wonderful. Thank. Well, hey, you know, I'm in Maui, Hawaii. How bad can it get, you know?
So, yeah. Well, we have so, here in Western Mass. Just yeah. Like Maui, Hawaii today, in the 80s and sunny.
Yeah, exactly. It's beautiful here. It's still a little dark here. You know, there's about a six-hour time difference here. So I was telling producer Scott, I go, I'm going to be glad when I at least get back to California. Six-hour time difference can wear on you a little bit. Well, according to a recent survey, ladies and gentlemen, more than 2,000 Americans, that's 94%, are willing to do something to make their communities healthier. So we've got some positive momentum here, Dr. Ostrowski. I mean, you know, the communities see the issue. I think, you know, some of the things that Obamacare and, you know, have brought to the forefront here is the fact that we need to make healthier choices, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. We need to make healthier choices. We need to empower people to be able to make healthy choices and to have access. I think the big key here when we look at communities and what separates one community from another is oftentimes access to what they need to be empowered to practice healthy behaviors. So when we look at the Healthiest Cities and Counties Challenge, that's one of the things that we're looking at. We're looking at communities being able to promote healthy behaviors through creating access to fresh fruits, vegetables, produce in an affordable way so everyone can eat healthy. We're also looking at focusing on community safety and having open green spaces where people can engage in physical activity and children can play. Looking at creating, you know, ample work and living wages, as well as promoting healthy water, clean water, and clean air, just as important. So what we're really looking at through this challenge are what we call the social determinants of health. So they're the things that impact us where we live. And I'm not sure if you've heard the CDC remark and statement that, in fact, your location, your zip code, is more predictive of your overall health outcomes than your actual genetic code. So that really shows us that place matters.
Yeah, without a doubt. Explain to the audience the Healthiest City and Counties Challenge. What is that all about?
So what we're doing is we're actually, as you had mentioned, we are challenging small and mid-sized cities across the country to identify a health issue, one of the social determinants of health, whether it be healthy behaviors, community safety, green open spaces, walkable, bikeable communities, looking at living wages, ample work, looking at quality housing, safe food and water, or healthy food, safe water, clean air, those kinds of things that actually impact the people that live there and their health, and pulling together a cross-sector of folks. So people from the communities that live there really want to be part of the solution. They said that survey, 94% of people responded,
yes,
they want to do something. So that's fantastic. That same survey also showed that more than half of the people that responded to that survey said they gave their city a C minus, a C or below, on the impact of their health and the health of that city. So that's very telling. So the challenge is bringing together a cross sector, because health is more than health care, of people like city planners, your educational institutions, higher ed institutions, corporations, your local public health departments, health plans, hospitals, your housing and urban development folks, and bringing those people around a table to work collectively towards one major health goal to see if they can't move the needle to actually make that happen and create that to be a healthier environment for the people living, working, and playing and praying in that environment.
Exactly. Well, you got 95% of the people saying, look, this is a good thing. Let's raise the health consciousness of the constituency. Why not? Now, you've had a number of cities already jump in, right?
We have. We had the six that you mentioned jump in, and we call them our innovator cities or our early adopters. They heard about this and were really excited to get involved. They pulled together some collaboratives. They have some really interesting projects going on. Some of the projects are focusing on community safety through civic engagement and leadership, which is a really unique view on how to improve that aspect within a community. Others are looking at promoting healthy behaviors by looking at corner store initiatives to engage corner store owners in having fruits and vegetables and actually putting them at eye level, right? The marketing strategy, putting them at eye level and within reach of children. So they go for that as opposed to the candy. So there's big initiatives going on like that, as well as cities and counties and tribal communities trying to create more, working with public transportation, creating more opportunities to use public transportation, but also to have more bikeable and walkable communities as well to increase people's physical activity levels. So lots of really interesting projects and unique ways of doing things, but that's the power of bringing that collective around the table. You get the collective thinking, but then you also get all the focus of the assets of those collective partners towards one end goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite holistic and comprehensive, and you can see how this thing is going to take on some more tendons and skin and skeletal structure just with the varying ideas of the community participants. Speaking of partners in this, we know Aetna, of course, is helping to lead the way. Who else is partnering with you on this?
So we have partnered with the American Public Health Association. We really wanted to make sure that as we're asking cities and counties to partner and tribal communities to partner with some unlikely partners, that we would actually partner also with other partners and get collective thinking. So we have the American Public Health Association as well as the National Association of Counties, and they are our partners to actually working with us directly. They helped with the development of the program, the implementation, the rollout. They've been really integral to the entire process. And then we also have a 26-member advisory board working with us that has had a lot of input into the process as well. And they have been, they will be the judges panel, so to speak. So none of the partners are actually in the judges panel. So it really is an objective panel.
This is really good fun.
The RFP.
Well, Dr. Ostrowski, we're down to our last 30 seconds or so here. Real quick, where can the people find out more information and participate? Because we know the deadline's coming up, right?
The deadline is coming up, but if you have a project, we really encourage you to complete the RFP, get online. It's healthiestcities.org. All of the information is there. You can read through the RFP. You can submit your proposal. You can learn more about the challenge, about the partners. And soon the Innovator Cities will be up on the site as well.
Well, congratulations on the idea and all the best to you. This is going to be great. Let's get our communities healthy, okay? Dr. Marilyn Ostrowski with us on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate it. It's just about 29 after.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-second walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-second walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
You broadcast from room to room and even house to house.
For Spanish, press 2.
Porque todos cuentan en el formulario del censo, especialmente los niños. Así ayudas a que tengamos más cosas en nuestra comunidad, como centros de cuidado, escuelas y más.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, the one and only Cape and All, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Wayne Copping is with us. He's a producer of Beneath a Helmet, a documentary about the personal stories of five Israeli soldiers that created quite a ruckus at the University of California in Irvine here. And Wayne, welcome to Bill Martinez live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, thank you for coming. We're talking to you from Johannesburg, you know, I'm in Maui, so we almost have, you know, the world covered here between you and me.
And it's a great start. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Well, the film, the film itself, Beneath the Helmet, a documentary about the personal stories of five Israeli soldiers, you think, okay, you know, it shouldn't be a problem. You go to UCI, and all of a sudden, you got this anti-Semitic movement and the crushing of, a First Amendment right and free speech on a California campus. And this seems to be more the order of the day these days, Wayne. You know, so did it surprise you that this occurred?
It did, and it didn't surprise us. We understand that the groups like the Students for Justice in Palestine or the Muslim Students Union, they're notorious on campuses around North America for demonizing Jews, for comparing Israel to the Nazi regime, and this is their modus operandi. So we weren't surprised at all that our film was protested. We've made political films in the past, but this film, Beneath the Helmet, is not a political film at all. As you point out, it's a personal film about these soldiers. You don't see war, you just see their lives. And as you correctly pointed out, this mob of about 50 protesters, they were yelling obscenities, they were screaming at the people inside the screening, they were yelling Intifada, Intifada, Long Live the Intifada, which, as many of your listeners know, is a war cry supporting the Palestinian murder of Jews in Israel. And the people inside the screening were very nervous, as you can well imagine.
This would be equated to hate speech in itself, don't you think? I mean, be screaming intifada. I mean, that to me is the definition of hate speech.
Yeah, I think that's right up there with anything you could consider hate speech. You know, I think if a good thought experiment for people to do is if you replace whatever you're doing and you replace it with Jew or Muslim. So if people were yelling some kind of racial slur against black people or against Muslims, this story would be all over CNN. But somehow, because we have Muslim groups that are intimidating Jewish groups, only good networks like yourselves are picking up this story. And the fact is that this is not normal, and this should not be the new normal. Groups like Students for Justice in Palestine and the Muslim Students Union do this so often. And the question remains is, do college campuses allow students for the KKK on their campus? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no. And so they should not be allowing these students who they put up these mock apartheid walls, or they'll have students dressed up as IDF soldiers who pretend to be killing Palestinians. This is the kind of thing they do all the time. And this protest that we're speaking about is just the most recent incarnation of this activity. And it has to stop. Not only is it chilling free speech, as you point out, but it's dangerous. Who knows what these protesters are capable of doing?
Exactly. Well, you know, they're whipping up emotions here. And as you say, you know, you could have a oops or some other issue here that could ignite something of a grander scale. And it seems what appears to be consistent here, Wayne, is that the chancellor and other administrative officials are ill-equipped to really manage this.
Well, the chancellor did come out and say that this protest crossed the line of civility and they're going to be doing in investigations. And to the school's credits, I must give the school credits, in 2010, UC Irvine actually suspended the Muslim Student Association for disrupting a talk by the Israeli ambassador. Mm. So they have been doing something, but the question is, are they doing enough? And why do we have to wait for more of these events that, as I point out, could be dangerous in the future? And why are they allowing hate on our campus? So we are waiting to see what the school does further, but we're hoping that very strong action is going to be taken because students are just not feeling safe anymore.
Exactly. Well, and that's what I was just going to get to, is that, you know, here are the students attending. They want to hear what's going on. This is a good documentary, give you some insight into some Israeli soldiers. Like you say, it wasn't political. You just wanted to tell the personal stories of people, you know, who are in this situation. I had a chance in January to visit an IDF camp, which was fascinating. And, you know, talking to a lot of young kids, I mean, 18-year-old kids that, you know, from Boston that made the pilgrimage, said, look, you know, I need to support the homeland, and, you know, left their family and friends and are, putting in their 2 years in the IDF. I mean, just incredible stories that you thought, wow, I just don't have enough time, you know, to be able to talk to them. But for you, you know, you were able to do this. But I want to get back to the fact that what you talked about is the students that were there. I mean, they had to be escorted by the police. I mean, are you kidding me?
Correct.
I mean, they're that fearful of the situation. That's how bad it got.
Correct. And the protesters were actually banging on the door of the screening and banging on the windows and trying to force their way into the screening. And you have to try to put yourself in the shoes of those who were in the screening. They can hear people yelling, intifada, intifada. They're talking about, they're accusing settlers of genocide. And they're wearing kafirs and there's Palestinian flags. And you have to understand that anyone who's been following what's been happening in Israel recently, there was a spate of stabbing attacks in Israel up until a couple of months ago, if you all remember.
Yeah, the knife intifada.
Correct. Thank you very much. And these are people who would wear a kafir and would brandish a Palestinian flag, and they would drive cars into Israeli civilians just waiting for a bus and jump out and stab them. And so these people are wearing the exact same uniform of, if you want to call it, the Palestinian uprising terrorist, if you want to call it, for want of a better word, or freedom fighter, as they may call it.
Right.
So the people inside the screening, do they know if one of those people are going to suddenly develop a sudden jihad syndrome or something like that? They don't know. That's why the police have to be called, because it's such an unpredictable situation. And as you correctly point out, there's just this is tantamount to hate speech. And if not this, then what?
Well, Wayne, the last day that we were in Israel in January, there was a mother of four that was attacked by a Palestinian knife intifada, and she was murdered in her own home in front of her four children. You know, so the knife intifada was very prevalent in January when we were there, and as you say, it's kind of calmed down a little bit, but it's waiting for its next intifada. Before, it was the intifada by car, where they would ride up on sidewalks, as you were referring to, and just mow down Jews, just trying to get to work, you know, just trying to get a bus connection. And this is the kind of insanity that goes on. I find it quite ironic that here they are wearing wearing garb that demonstrates hate, demonstrates this conflict here in the United States, and then we have little kids that can't even wear an American flag in a kindergarten class without being cited and saying, you know, you can't wear an American flag or demonstrate anything of any kind of military suggestion, not the flag does, but, you know, it's just gotten ridiculous. And, you know, these little kids are, you know, being expelled from school or suspended from school and things like that. So, wait a minute, I'm a kindergartner. How much trouble can I get in as a kindergartner, you know?
Right. Yeah. You know, the whole thing is really upside down. And the question that we have to be asking is, why are these groups trying to silence the pro-Israel students? Why are they trying to shut screenings down? And people will only try shut these things down if their argument isn't strong enough. They'll only try intimidate if they don't have a strong enough argument. And so when you look at these groups had their anti-Zionism week, which was the week just before.
Wayne, we're going to have to pick it up from right here because we got to go to break. On the other side, Wayne Copping is back with us on Bill Martinez Live. Stay with us, America.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Purchase a ProPure system during the Crazy May sale and get a free ProMax shower filter or water filter pitcher. Remove up to 200 contaminants with the Pro1G 2.0 truly cleanable, reusable filter. We don't stretch our claims. We just deliver performance. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
From the studio that brought you Heaven is for Real and War Room.
When the Messiah comes, Rome will be nothing!
A faithful retelling of the miracle that changed the world forever.
Already they are proclaiming him risen from death.
Risen. On digital and Blu-ray.
He was very special.
Blu-ray includes bonus making of featurette, deleted scenes, and more.
His tomb is empty.
The best film about the life of Jesus since The Passion of the Christ, says Patrick Nowakowski, editor-in-chief of Legatus Magazine.
What happened to the Nazarene?
Dave Morales of Fox TV Houston calls Risen an uplifting masterpiece.
He's right here. Open your hearts and see.
Risen, rated PG-13. Get it now on digital. On Blu-ray and DVD May 24th.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Have you ever wondered why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood?
You know, I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. You know what I mean? Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Side effects include bleeding from the gums after you brush your teeth, swelling or pain at an injection site, diarrhea, vomiting, or inability to eat for more than 24 hours, fever, severe bleeding, including heavier than normal menstrual bleeding, red or brown urine, black or bloody stools, severe headache or stomach pain, joint pain, discomfort, or swelling, especially after an injury, vomiting of blood or material that looks like coffee grounds, bruising that develops without an injury, you remember? Well, dizziness or weakness on top of that, and even death or skin tissue or necrosis. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA. Plus, find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Who is the gopher's ally? His friend. The harmless squirrel and the friendly rabbit. I'm going to use you two guys to do my dirty work for me.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
Documentary about the personal stories of five Israeli soldiers that caused quite a ruckus at the University of California in Irvine. Quite ironic. Here we are, believers of freedom of speech. People come into our country and decide to use that against us, and they want to squelch speech in the name of their ability to have the freedom to speak and to say things that I believe need to be categorized as hate speech. When you're yelling intifada, intifada, and you have this anti-Semitic, I mean, forget about attitude. I mean, it's just a clean, outright demonstration of it. And sadly, it just seems that our campuses across the country, you know, this is something that's coming upon them that, you know, again, I question how equipped are they in terms of being able to handle, you know, this kind of energy. I mean, here it is, you got 50 students that are screaming intifada, Wayne, and they've kind of turned this campus upside down. I mean, it doesn't take a lot of people, does it?
It doesn't. And the fact is that campuses are supposed to be a safe space not only for freedom of speech, but for freedom of ideas. And so What does this do to the young mind when they have to self-police their own thoughts or, you know, when it suddenly becomes an act of courage just to put on a film about Israeli soldiers? All of a sudden it's become like an act of courage because you don't know if you're going to be attacked. What does that do to the young minds? What does that do to freedom of speech? What does that do to the freedom of expression? Is this America anymore? And I think those are the questions we have to grapple with.
Well, the anti-Semitic attitude has been increasing in this country. And I would say you might run into similar events on other campuses as well, because this just seems to be acceptable. I mean, you've got some entertainers that are saying, look, I don't even want to come to your campus. Don't even invite me. I mean, forget about them telling conservatives and other people, hey, we don't want you. We're going to disinvite you. I mean, you got other celebrities and entertainers saying, you know, you guys aren't fun. You know, I'm not going to come in and share with you my gifts and talents and have to put up with this kind of insanity.
Right. Look, we have to appreciate that the Students for Justice of Palestine, which is one of many organizations, they themselves, the SJP, have over 115 chapters across the United States, if not North America. And in each of these chapters, they're fomenting this level of hatred. They'll have the Israel Apartheid Week or Anti-Zionism Week, and there's a constant barrage of misinformation and lies and demonization.
They're free to exercise that, right? They're free to have those. I mean, you know, you tell me those weeks and you see it on the calendar and you go, what? Are you kidding me? And these are the titles of these events, right?
That's exactly what these events are called. And it's all under the imprimatur of legitimate resistance. You know, that's how they would kind of phrase it. But when you take the tiniest glance at what they do and what they profess, it's pure hatred. They are supporting de facto terrorists. They compare the Jews to Nazis. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And if these are the only messages that people are hearing on college campus, that the Israelis are war criminals and that the settlers are committing genocide, and if the Israeli students, for example, are too scared to speak out, so the average American who doesn't really have a firm grasp on what's going on in the Middle East, so he or she will hear these things, and they're hearing these very loud voices on one side. In their mind, they think, well, it must be true, and the Jews aren't saying anything because they happen to be too scared to say anything in many cases. Right. So that must be true. So that becomes the narrative. And that's why we're quite gratified, because the students at UC Irvine, especially from the group, the Students Supporting Israel, which is the group that put on our film, they've said, we will not be silenced, and they are putting on an even bigger screening of our film, which we're going to be helping them with. And it's their way of saying, we want to take back our school. We want to take back our right to have freedom of speech.
Exactly.
It's unfortunate that this time around there's going to have to be a police presence, and there's going to have to be security. And we're also finding that it's not just UCI, but other schools, when they hear about this, Jewish and non-Jewish groups, may I add, are coming forward and saying, we also want to support this endeavor. So now what's happened is the Students for Justice in Palestine have tried to shut down one screening, and they've actually gone ahead and spawned who knows how many others in their wake. And I think that's the only primary reaction that each of us can take. You know, when someone's trying to stifle your freedom of speech, that's when you need to have the courage to actually stand up and use that right and use that freedom all the more so, and not be cowed into silence.
What makes this even more pernicious, it's one thing to want to squelch speech, but it's another thing to invalidate your humanity, to make you less than. And that's what they're doing here. They wouldn't appreciate it. I mean, they're up in arms whenever we talk about anything empirically about the Muslim faith, you know, and that Islam supposedly is a faith in or religion of peace. And you go, you know, even the experts, Muslim experts, go, well, you know, the tough thing to reconcile here is that all Muslims may not be terrorists, but all terrorists have been Muslims. So, okay, so, you know, work out the calculus here. What's going on? And then you want me to be comfortable in thinking that everything is well, and then I see these demonstrations on the college campuses, which only promote more hatred, and somehow I'm supposed to, you know, re-engineer my brain and my thinking to fool myself into thinking that they are really more interested in love and peace than they are war.
Right. And I'll tell you another sad byproduct of this entire intimidation and demonization tactic that these groups use is we have many Muslims and Muslim students who do support Israel, but they daren't speak out, and they daren't put themselves on the front line
because
what happens is it kind of creates like a false consensus where people think that all Muslims hate America, but that's not true. Many Muslims, all Muslims hate Israel, and that's just not true, because many Muslims do appreciate that the state of Israel is the one place where there's freedom of religion in the Middle East. It's one place where there's freedom of expression. It's one place where there's freedom of sexuality, and so many Muslims are proud of the Muslim state, but they just could not stand up and declare their support because the backlash from these Muslim groups would just be too overwhelming and too dangerous. And so you have these second and third degree chilling effects. And so it creates a kind of like a false consensus. And and the American students are left. They're really the biggest victims, and even the non-Jewish students, because they're being grossly misinformed, and that's really sad.
Well, it was interesting. I was watching a video, I think it was yesterday, on a college campus in Oregon. A guy was raising money for Hamas, and for intifadas. I mean, he was getting money from the kids. And, you know, what do you got? Well, his gal says, well, I was going to, I had $27. This was my burning money, and I'll give it to you. And I mean, the guy, yeah. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, I invite people to watch that clip because it's very instructive. It's he's an activist, a comedian. His name is Ami Horowitz, A-M-I, Ami Horowitz. And he went on to, I believe it was Portland campus or something.
Yes,
and
right.
He went
yeah.
to people, and this is what you're saying. He said, I'm raising money for Hamas. We want to bomb schools and synagogues, and we want to kill...
Soft targets. He's on a college campus. He says, yeah, we want to bomb schools. These are soft targets, he says.
And the point is that don't make a mistake of these of thinking that the students that were listening to him misheard him, because he made it very clear, speaking very slowly about what he wanted to do. And they said, sure. And so one really has to wonder, what are these students hearing? What do they understand? This and whatever they do know about Israel and what they think about Israel, how much of that is from these hate groups like the Students for Justice in Palestine, the Muslim Student Union and others, this gross misinformation. And so we're on epic proportions here. And so that's why it's so important that people who care about these issues refuse to remain silent. And the silent majority stands up and says, we need to take our campuses back. We need to take our narrative back. And so it's really up to every single one of us to do that.
Well, it really does start with a thought, and these thoughts have grown into language, and language is following behavior around the world, and we're starting to see it raise its ugly head here domestically. We've had some terror attacks that have taken place, but, you know, look, at America needs to be on guard, our heads on a swivel to pay attention to what's going on. And we start to see these areas, these problem areas, whether they're the college campuses. We've been critical of academia, that they've been very lax and supportive. I mean, the fact that you could have, in this particular case, a comedian go on a Portland campus and generate money and do a fundraiser for Hamas and be so open about it to say, hey, look, we're going to bomb some soft targets. Oh, yeah, okay, you know, happy to, you know, it's like, what? I mean, it is shocking, and you've got to, as Wayne says, you've got to see this video. Wayne, congratulations on the movie. Whatever we can do to help you out and come alongside and support the efforts, we're there with you. He's the producer of Beneath the Helmet, a great documentary about the personal stories of five Israeli soldiers that I know you're going to find most fascinating. And thanks for being with us all the way from Johannesburg, South Africa. We appreciate it. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
It is just a couple minutes before the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live. Ever wonder why the medical system prescribes ingredients used in killing small rodents to thin blood? I look at some people on this stuff, and they're more bruised than a boxer in the 12th round of a 10-round fight. Careful with green vegetables. They must know best. Well, here at Bill Martinez Live, we support the structure function of blood with EFA Plus. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. That number again, 855-305-8326.
Vaping enthusiast, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays, and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.